My name is Neil Boron. I work for WDCX Radio, and I've had the privilege of interviewing these two ladies on several occasions. I would come out front, but I think I'm going to create a lot of feedback with that microphone. So I'll ask you the questions, but then maybe you can direct your answers to the folks who've come to visit with us today. I'm a little awkward because, you know, there are beautiful people in the world, and then there are not so beautiful, and I get to be up here with these two. So, you know, by God's grace, we'll get through this thing. In any case, it is a blessing to have you here, and grateful that God has laid it on your heart to be here at a pretty difficult time in your lives. We're going to talk about some of that. We'll get to that in a minute, but, you know, before we even get started, Jill, you've shared from your heart a number of times on the air how you came to faith in Christ, and I would like you to share again how that happened. But Aaron, I don't know that any of us have had the privilege of hearing how you came to faith in Christ. Now, they say that you can't be, you know, just being born in a garage doesn't make you a Christian. And even though you're Jill Kelly's daughter, and that almost qualifies you for sainthood, at some point, you gave your life to Christ. You're 19 years old. How did that happen?
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us here. First of all, I came to know Christ when I was 5 years old, and I didn't fully understand what that meant as a five-year-old girl. I knew my need for Jesus Christ, and I knew that I needed him in my life and that I couldn't live without him, and watching my brother Hunter just struggle through Krabbe disease and watching him suffer every single day of his life, you begin to think about heaven and God and just how those things can happen, and watching my mom and my grandma and how they just loved Jesus and they just radiated his joy, and our house became just filled with God and filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And so I saw those things as a young girl, and I wanted Jesus at a very young age. But since then, I've just grown in my walk with Christ, and there have been ups and downs along the way, but that is where it all began, and I have just been seeking after God ever since.
You're a student at Liberty University.
Yes.
And you enjoy it.
Absolutely love it. Liberty is incredible.
How did it come about that you chose Liberty?
Well, my mom actually took a few classes through Liberty, through the chapel, and that's kind of how I heard about it. And then a few of my friends from Christian Central Academy went there. And so I went down to visit Liberty and just completely fell in love with the campus. But what I love most about Liberty is that the Holy Spirit is just so tangible there, and it's just so real. And people are just who they are, and they love Jesus, and it's a family there. And God is just doing incredible things.
Let me just ask quick, as a young person, are you ever struck by the fact that most 19-year-olds don't really want to have a lot to do with Jesus? But I mean, you're on a campus where it seems like a good number of them are pursuing a relationship with the Lord, so that's a blessing. But a lot of kids your age, I should say young adults your age, aren't interested in the Lord, and how do you deal with that?
It's interesting because I believe that God has placed certain circumstances in our life for a reason, and I believe that God allowed me to face trials and face very difficult situations at a young age, and I believe that that is what has made me who I am. And it's sad to see some of my friends walking away from the Lord, but just being able to encourage them and being on Liberty's campus where I am being filled with the gospel constantly, and that just completely changes everything. When you are filling yourself with God and his word, it changes everything.
Does your mom call you a lot and you know, ask you if you're cleaning your room and that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, of course.
She stays on it?
And she comes down to visit to make sure everything's looking nice, you know. The typical mom thing.
So, Jill, what was it like sending your little girl away last fall?
Well, if I can just, as her mother, sitting here, first of all, thank you so much also to Bill and Diane Hine and just the entire crew that makes this possible for all of you to enjoy. Yes, it's amazing. And I know you asked me a question, Neil, but you know me well enough to know that I'm not going to answer you immediately.
I
have to get my two cents in first.
Just hurry up because I got to take a commercial break.
Two years ago when I was invited to come and share, I had such a hard time up here because watching people come walk along the beach and to think that this is what Jesus did. He met people where they were, and that you have the opportunity to be here on this beach and to hear the word of God and to share these moments together as a beach community is just so incredibly humbling. So thank you so much for allowing both of us to be here and to sit here with my daughter and to hear the words coming out of her mouth. I am absolutely overwhelmed. If you had a camera on me, yes, if you had like a video camera on me, you'd see all the faces that moms make when their children are like, and you're freaking out. I'm just overwhelmed because she literally is God's redemption. She is the culmination of prayer. And I could bawl sitting here in front of you because that's exactly what God does. He takes our mess, our choices, because she was born before Jim and I were married. And she is redemption sitting in front of you, that she loves Jesus, that she knows him like she does. And she herself will take no credit for that. Just as I can take no credit for my salvation and no credit for what God has done up to this very moment in the midst of our trials. So to answer your question, I don't even remember what it was, but something about being her mother.
Was it hard to send your baby away last fall?
It was dreadfully hard. But at the same time, because I have spent some time on the campus at Liberty, there were three things that I knew very clearly when I was there that I had felt. And I felt the joy of the Lord, like she has already mentioned. I also felt like we were home, which, how do you feel like you're home when you're in Lynchburg, Virginia? Well, you feel at home when you are surrounded by people who love God. That's home. And I believe that she, when she is at Liberty, she is home because she's surrounded by God's people and she is being trained to share the gospel. And so it was hard. And at the same time, you have to let go and you have to let God be God in her life and stop controlling everything. And that's a thing, you know, loosening up the control and the whole thing. But Erin's watching me learn. But Erin, maybe you can share too, like how you struggled in the beginning at Liberty, just with all that you went through there. And
I did struggle at the beginning. The first few months were hard. I mean, being away from home, and I'm so used to being with family, but God taught me so much and completely took me out of my comfort zone. And I have learned that when you love Jesus and you're passionate about God and all that he's doing, that he doesn't want you to stay in your comfort zone and that we weren't meant to stay in our comfort zone. And so he completely took me out of my element, but I learned to completely rely on God. And I feel that he prepared me for what I'm walking through now with my dad, and the fact that I had to rely on him was something that in the big picture is very little. And now I'm relying on him so much more now.
How hard was it in the spring, knowing that your dad's cancer had returned, that became obviously international news, and you were away at school? I'm sure that you had an opportunity to come home at various times, but you still had to deal with the fact that you were away for a part of that. That couldn't have been easy.
My mom and I were actually in Israel when we found out that my dad's cancer had come back. And that was extremely hard, being in a completely different country and not being able to be with my dad. And so we had to completely trust God because we couldn't do anything in that moment. And going back to school was really hard, especially because this round he had chemo and radiation. He didn't have that before, so we didn't know exactly what that would bring and what that would look like. And so that was really hard, especially being his daughter and being so far away. But I was able to come home and go to the hospital in New York and be with him. And that really helped me get through the semester, knowing that I could see him and be with him and take care of him. So,
how many of you watch ESPN and know who Chris Berman is? For anybody who's a football fan, Chris Berman, I described this to Erin the other day, he's kind of like Moses is to the Bible. That's what Chris Berman is to NFL football. Okay, he just sort of is. So one day I turn on SportsCenter on ESPN and I see Erin sitting talking with Chris Berman. I'm like, she's 19 years old. How does this even happen? You did such a marvelous job. But I mean, just describe that experience a little bit. You had to know that people all over the world were watching this. He was asking you some pretty tough questions about your dad, about the cancer situation. And this, of all things, was on Father's Day weekend.
Right. Well, that alone was hard. The fact that it was on Father's Day weekend. Through it all, I have such a new perspective on Father's Day and what it means to be a daughter and to look at your dad with just such awe, especially because who he is in Christ and just what God has done in his life. But that entire experience, just talking with Chris Berman, was incredible, especially because I love ESPN. I'm a huge ESPN fan. So that was just awesome. But just being able to share my heart and what our family is going through and doing it on such a huge level as ESPN is. So it was just amazing. And I was so grateful that they wanted to do a story just about my dad, because I'm so proud of him and I want to share with people the real story, because you can hear things through media and what other people are saying, but it's different when it comes from the family. And so that was just, I just shared my heart through it all.
Can I?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay.
Sure.
So the ESPN thing too, if I can just add a couple of things. I absolutely believe that God is sovereign. I believe that he orchestrates every single detail of our lives. I believe that in his word, it actually says that he prepares in advance the good works that we are to walk into. And so things like ESPN for a 19-year-old and the opportunities that God has allowed us to have, you have to remember, are, I believe, God ordained, but also they come from and they are opportunities because of our pain and because of our suffering. Because the truth is, and if we can be honest with this, and you know this, if you walk with the Lord, you know that people are really not paying attention when things are going well, are they? They're paying attention when you are in the fire. When you are in the midst of the fire, people are watching and they're paying attention. And especially, you know, for our, as far as our story is concerned, the Buffalo Bills fans, who we love. We love them. The beer-drinking Buffalo Bills fan. They're watching when the Kellys are suffering. They're watching. They want to see what's going to happen, and to allow a 19-year-old girl to speak into that and to say the name of Jesus on ESPN. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That is, and we stand back in awe. That's exactly what we do as a family. That's what Erin does as a young 19-year-old woman longing for the heart of God. That's what I do as her mom and as a woman who's seeking after Jesus's heart as well. You just stand back and on, you think, oh my goodness, God does not need to use either of us. He does not need us to accomplish his purpose here on this earth. And yet he chooses to use us. He chooses to use the mess. He chooses to use our tests. And it's overwhelming. And Chris Berman is actually a cool dude. Yeah. He actually is. And it was just really humbling that they chose to do that on Father's Day, obviously, so that she could actually say Happy Father's Day to her dad on national television. And I'll tell you something, he was a complete wreck. There's something about having your child, especially your daughter, speak those kind of words to you. And in his weakness, Jim has actually shed quite a few tears over these last few months, but it's been a beautiful thing to be a part of and witness and share.
One thing I want to ask you about, there was an article in the Buffalo News the other day. It was just one example of the kind of thing I've heard in the last few months since it was announced that your dad was struggling with cancer again, is the emphasis on who he's become since football. And I'm going to give your mom a chance to speak into that in a moment. But I want to hear from you for a second, Erin, because I just want to give you my perspective for a minute. And I think I speak for a lot of Buffalo Bills fans who may be here that, you know, Jim Kelly is our hero, too. I know that he's your dad and he's your hero. But there was a time, if you're as old as I am, that the Buffalo Bills hadn't beat the Miami Dolphins in more than 10 years until Jim Kelly arrived on the scene. And all of a sudden, we became dominant over the Dolphins and then obviously went to 4 Super Bowls and that whole thing. So there's that hero mentality on the field. And your dad is one of the toughest men ever to play in the National Football League and was perfect for the city of Buffalo, a blue-collar kind of guy. You know, and just the reality is Jim Kelly is Buffalo Bills football. You know, when you think Buffalo Bills, it's the first name that pops in your mind. And it'll probably always will be. There's not going to be anyone else like your dad that ever will step in and fill the role the same way that he did.
Now, don't say never, because we still hope.
You know, okay. I believe God can move mountains, but... no, let me just say. So in that sense, we see him as a hero. But I've also been in settings, and probably this has a lot to do with Hunter, having been born with a disability. I've seen him around disabled children just gravitate to those children and pay them attention and just esteem them as being more important than himself. And then we read articles about when he was in the hospital in New York City, taking time to visit sicker people in other parts of the hospital, although he was in excruciating pain. So talk about your dad from that aspect a little bit, and maybe let us know something about him that none of us would know. I mean, you see Dad behind the four walls of your house.
Right. Truthfully, I believe that one day people will remember him more for who he was than how he played football. And I truly believe that. And being his little girl, I've grown up watching him and looking up to him and seeing this big, tough guy. And it wasn't until these past few months when I've actually seen him at his weakest. And that's physically weak and emotionally. But on top of that, I have never seen him stronger. And that is completely through his faith in Jesus Christ. And there is no possible way that he could face another day if it wasn't for his faith. Because some days are really hard. And being his little girl, it's hard to see him weak. And it's hard to see him struggle through cancer and not knowing what the outcome is. But I have seen him completely find his strength in Christ. And it has encouraged me. And I told him that on Father's Day in my interview. I said, "You are my hero," because I look at him not for who he was on the football field or how tough he is physically, but that he finds his strength in Christ alone. And that's one thing I just love about him. And he has a huge, huge heart. And you talked about the disabled kids, and I just love watching him love other people. And I'll tell you, he has always been like that, but I mean, I know my mom will say that as soon as Jesus walked into the picture, that became even more magnified.
Clearly, Jill, you're the closest person on the planet to Jim, and I'm just curious from your perspective how Jim has changed in the last 15 years, and you can speak to some of that. And I don't know if there's anyone more qualified than you, not only because you're his wife, but years ago at a party when Jim asked for Jill's phone number, she said no and walked out. This woman. I'm a little nervous standing next to her.
It's true. Should we just give a snippet of that moment? We probably should. So I'm at a party at Jim's house because BC, before Jesus, that's what we did. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not going to pretend like my past was not my past because my past comes with me. But Jesus has covered it all in his blood. So anyway, so we're at a party at Jim's house. He was notorious for having these parties in his basement. And I love sharing this story in front of my daughter, as you can imagine. And, you know, he was flirting with me through the night, throwing ice cubes at me. We met in the beginning of the evening. And then at the end of the evening, it was time to go, if you know what I'm saying. I wasn't going to be one of those girls with all the other girls that were still hanging around. And so I said to my friend, "Let's go." And so we went up to Jim and I said, "Nice to meet you. Thank you so much for the party." And he said, "Well, how do I get a hold of you?" And I said, "Well, you don't, but nice, you know, thanks for everything." And I left. And, you know, for those of you who did not live in the world when there wasn't social media, he had no way to go on Facebook. He couldn't go on Instagram or Twitter or try to find me in any way, shape, or form. He had to do some work. And that's how it should be, girls. Do you understand me? Social media makes it very easy to be approachable. But there's certainly, guard your heart, for there is the wellspring of life. But anyway, so that's how we met. And what I have seen, and this is just, you know, everyone's testimony is a testimony of going from death to life. That is what I have witnessed. That is what I have experienced. That is what I have watched Jim go through. I have watched this man who was filled with everything worldly that you can possibly imagine, because I was right there with him. Banking on your success, banking on your money, banking on your notoriety, banking on your fame and fortune and all of those things. banking on all of those things. That was the foundation, because that's what we're fed from the world. And the beautiful thing is that God lets us run after those things, because he loves us that much. He's patient so much with us that he allows us to run after those things, because at the end of all of those things, he's still there. And that's exactly my story, and that's exactly Jim's story, because at the end of all of those things, Jesus was still there. And Jesus found Jim, and Jim responded to that salvation, and it has been incredible to watch him. And he does not, even to this day, and you know, Neil, he does not speak Christianese. He is, in fact, we do these little Bible studies now, and just recently, and it was so innocent and beautiful. And that's what I love about his faith, because, you know, we're all growing. God's not finished with this yet. He begins this work, and he's faithful to complete it. And here's Jim, and we're doing some, I can't even remember exactly what the verse was, but Aaron and Jim and myself, and we're sitting there doing this little Bible study at home, and his simple response to, it was something about worrying, and, you know, that we are not to worry about what we eat or what we drink or what we wear, because God takes care of the birds and the beautiful flowers in the field. And Jim, and we, he just goes, why? And you're like, what do you mean, why? And he said, why aren't we supposed to worry? Why aren't we supposed to think about how to take care of ourselves and think about, I mean, it was just one of those beautiful moments where you're just, you stand in awe of how God is in the midst of all that, and he's teaching us and he's showing us simple truths. So I don't know if that answered your question, Neil. However,
you know, I just listened to you talk. I say on Lifeline, which is the program that I host in the afternoons, and sometimes Jill fills in for me. Doesn't she do an amazing job when she fills in? I'd say that we don't allow elephants in the room, so I'm going to ask you a difficult question. And let me just set it up this way. First of all, I'm going to ask you, if your life has been positively affected by the Kelly family, and or if you have prayed for Jim during this time, or Hunter when he was struggling, obviously, just raise your hand for a minute. I want you to be able to see the people that have prayed for you and been influenced
Thank
by
you.
Your lives.
Thank you.
When you hear the word cancer, you know, that's the C word. Some people didn't even used to want to say the word out loud. There's always the what if question. And I want to say on behalf of the body of Christ, the true believers need to continue to pray for you guys and allow you the freedom to just be real. In other words, and let me say this from my heart to you too. You guys are amazing examples of what it means to stand with Jesus, to experience his strength in weakness. And I'm going to ask you more about that in a moment. Jim has done the same thing publicly. You guys have exemplified strength and weakness. But there are moments where we all feel tempted to shake our fist at God, or we have a low moment, or we just don't know if we can do it anymore. And on the day when you guys feel like you can't stand up and put on your happy face, we're going to love you through that. And no matter what comes, we're going to continue to love you and we're going to pray. But the reality exists, and I'm sure you've thought about it, that this may not turn out like we pray that it will. And I wonder what your thoughts are about that, and if you've had to process any of those thoughts. We're praying for a complete and total healing. We're praying because Jim Kelly gets through these things. Jim Kelly's going to come through this. But what are your thoughts about that as human beings?
Thank you for that elephant in the room. We love him. Let's pet him for a little while. No, of course, I this is, you know, especially, it's interesting, and I'm just going to just be real raw and honest with all you. After going through what we went through with Hunter, and God knows my heart, because he's listening to me right now, and he listens to the words that I don't even speak, and when I can't even pray, he knows me. And that's why I have such freedom in sharing this with you, is that I was like, you know, after Hunter and then something like this comes along, you're like, wait a minute, God, no, we went through that. I went through that, God. Really? And so I've had to almost, relearn things and go back to the moment of my salvation. I've had to go back and remember how God brought me and our family through our experience with Hunter, through the experience of Hunter getting his feeding tube, because Jim has a feeding tube now, through the experience of Hunter needing oxygen. Jim needed oxygen in the hospital, through the experience of the suction machine and learning all of those things, and then her dad needing a suction machine. And I'm sitting there and I'm like remembering, like, wait, you brought us through that once. You brought us through that back then. You will do it again. And it's not only remembering how God was faithful, but remembering what we experienced in the midst of that. His joy, his peace, his hope. And remembering also that this is not the end of the story. And I believe that since Hunter has been gone, I've forgotten what it means to live heavenly minded and to cling to the things of heaven and to remember that I am just a stranger here. This is really not my home. And that's really hard. That's really hard. But Jim's cancer has reminded me once again that we are not meant to stay here. We are meant to be with Jesus in heaven, and that his plan is perfect. And every single day he has numbered for us. Every single day he's numbered. Every single breath we take is a gift. And so I feel like you go through this school of suffering and watching your son suffer, and then just the experience of saying goodbye to Hunter, and you think that is the greatest sorrow I'll ever experience. But the truth is, we're experiencing sorrow like that once again, and it's dreadfully hard. And we choose to share certain things on social media because they're real things that are happening in that moment that we want to share, and we want to be an encouragement because we all go through something. We cannot walk the face of this earth without going through something. And many of us, I think every single person here, and I wouldn't doubt it, has been touched by cancer in some way, shape, or form. You know somebody, you're related to someone, you've lost someone, but Jesus is bigger than cancer. And I've had to remember that too. And I know this is a long-winded answer, but Jesus is bigger than our greatest struggle. And if we fix our eyes on him, you know, and also too, I get caught up sometimes in, like, you know, all of the therapies that are coming our way, and should we do this, and should we do that, and it's like my mind is just overwhelmed and bombarded by all of these earthly things that we can do, and they're all good. But I have to remember who gave us every single thing we have. And that's Jesus. And so I'm still struggling. I don't know if I would call it a struggle, but there's that tension between faith and fear. And I know that Christ is bigger than all of it, but I'm in the midst of it. And I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. You know, and there's some nights when I go to bed and I'm like, is he going to wake up tomorrow? I don't know. And that scares me. I'm sorry. Because it scares me for her and for her sister. And, you know what it's like to lose someone. I'm sure you do. And, you know, my prayer has been, and it shouldn't be. This shouldn't be my prayer, but it is, because I'm a mother. I'm like, I want him to walk them down the aisle. I do. But if God chooses better, it's because it's better. And anyway, sorry. Okay, now I'm crying, so I'm not going to talk anymore.
Yeah,
okay.
Now I am too. Thanks a lot. Aaron, I don't know what you might want to add to that. If anything, I'll leave that part to you. But you and your sister co-authored 5 books called the Hot Chocolate with God series. And now you're working on a brand new book, kind of a different tact in this. And I think it relates to some of what your mom's talking about here. I love the title. So share the title with us and then maybe talk about that just a little bit.
Well, what we're working on now is called Kelly Tough, and it stemmed out of I was just writing in my journal and just talking to God, and it went from a journal entry to a blog to now a book. And Kelly Tough is something I grew up with my dad. When he was young, his dad would always tell him and his 5 brothers, you know, you got to be Kelly Tough. And he carried that into my childhood and just teaching me to be tough, like when I got hurt or whatever. And so, but it has become an entirely different, I have a totally different perspective on what that means and what toughness truly is. I've had to watch physical weakness, but I've seen such drastic strength found through Christ. And so I've learned so much through just these past few months. And that is kind of what we're writing about, just what God is doing in our family. And ultimately, it's not about being a Kelly. I mean, I've said this many times before, because people hear Kelly tough and they think of the Kelly family. That's just how it started. But it's not about the Kelly family. It's about finding strength and weakness for everyone. Because like my mom said, we all go through something, and it's putting our strength in Christ alone when we can't go on another day. And ultimately, we can't fully rely on the things of this world, and we have to rely on God alone. So we are just working through that. We really just share our heart and what we're going through, some of the stuff that most people wouldn't know. Just it's ultimately a way of just to encourage people who are going through tough times. So
I want to read from 2 Corinthians for just a second, chapter 12. And the Apostle Paul is speaking here. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The Apostle Paul was describing a difficult situation in his life. It may have been a habit. It may have been a temptation, a physical limitation. Nobody's really sure what exactly it means to have a thorn in the flesh, but he was faced with a trial that was bigger than him. And then he's quoting Jesus here to say, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That was the words of Jesus himself. It goes on to say, then Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Jill, I just wonder if you would share about that for just a moment with those who are here as we get ready to wrap this up, because while all of us are not faced with your exact trial, as you mentioned earlier, all of us are faced with something. There may be a financial situation, a relational situation, a physical or job-related or whatever. Jesus Christ, I've heard both of you say, is the person who makes the difference in that situation. And so, you know, just as, I mean, look at what has come out of Hunter's weakness, his inability to speak, and yet without a word, this family came to faith in Jesus Christ. You know, God is able to take those things that are weak and show forth his strength in those situations. So maybe for any here who need to be reminded or who need to meet Christ for the first time, the importance that Jesus makes in those situations and our need for utter dependence upon him.
And you basically said that, but he is the difference. It's not Jesus plus something. It's not Jesus and. It's not anything other than Christ alone. And God is so incredibly gracious. I've already said this once here in our gathering, that he allows us to go, to run away from him, to try to find what we're looking for in everything else. And sometimes that means, it means something for everybody else, that it, you know, it means something for you, it's something for you, it's something for you. And one of the things I think of when I think of how I run from God sometimes, I run away from him because I am more engaged in my comfort than I am in Christ. And maybe that's your situation right now, that you care more about your comfort, being comfortable in this life, than you do about following after Jesus. Because truth is, when you do follow him, it changes everything. Nothing stays the same. Nothing does. He takes you on an incredible journey that is sometimes very intimidating. I shouldn't say sometimes. It's very intimidating. You're dealing with the God of the universe who makes these waves and tells them they can only go this far, so they don't cover us right now. You're talking about the God who places stars in the sky and calls them out by name. He knows when the thunder is going to roar. This kind of God. That's what you're talking about. That's what we're talking about here today. That God changes everything. And so coming into a relationship with him should change everything in your life. Sometimes it's gradual and sometimes it's completely radical, like the Apostle Paul, who you were just referring to. And the Apostle Paul, who knew this Jesus and had this thorn and was like, please take it away from me. Please take it away from me. Please take it away from me. Aren't we all like that? We don't want hardship. We don't want suffering. Because that's what we were made for, more than that. We were made for heaven, which where there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more suffering. And so we know that something's not right, but it is those very things that turns our eyes to heaven, to the maker of heaven, to the author of it. And so though I, you know, I'm not like, woo, give me cancer. No, I don't want those things. We don't want those things. We want Christ. We want Christ alone. We all do, whether we know we do or not. But it's the very things that bring us to our weakness, bring us to our moments that we know that it's not going to be sufficient in our own strength. We're not going to be able to do this one in and of ourselves. It's those very moments where God makes himself known in the midst of that and becomes all that he's meant to be in our lives. And he changes everything. And sometimes my prayer is, Lord, help me to want you to change everything. Because I do. I'm human. I want to hold on to my comfort. I want things to be status quo. I don't want to deal with the next shoe that's going to drop, if you know what I'm talking about. We're always waiting for that next shoe to drop sometimes. Amen.
And everybody said,
I could have kept going. Amen. I was getting a little worried there. I was like, Neil's like pace starting to pace. He's like, okay, Jill. Everybody's getting a sunburn. They got to go.
We're going to get ready here and close in prayer in just a moment. And what Jill just said is so incredibly profound. Aaron, just a few moments ago as well, talking about the difference that Jesus makes. He is our strength in weakness. Last week, Marty McDonald was here. Some of you were present. He talked about thankfulness and reminded us that scripturally, in everything, we're to give thanks. And like Jill said, not for everything. That doesn't mean we thank him for the struggle we're going through, except for the fact that he's in it with us and that he's here to see us through whatever that situation may be. And that's the truth for you as well as me and for Jill and Aaron and Jim and Cameron. Jesus wants to be with us in the midst of our suffering. And the end result is we get to know him. We get to have a relationship with him and the promise of spending all eternity with him. And I love how Jill said it earlier. This is not really our home. This is not what we were meant for. We're just passing through. We're just a blip on the timeline of eternity. The reality is that forever and ever and ever, we will either spend eternity with God because of Jesus, or he actually loves us enough to say, choose for yourself. Jesus is the way to know me. Jesus is the opportunity you have to have a relationship with me. But I won't force that upon you. So the invitation that he offers is for us to come and receive his son and understand that Jesus made it possible for us to have this relationship with God that Jill and Aaron have so incredibly described today. So I'm just going to ask you as I close in prayer to bow your heads for a minute or close your eyes. And I think the most important thing as we get ready to close out this service this morning is that we give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus, as this incredible family has done, and to see the strength that they've found in weakness because of the fact that Jesus is in their lives and he's in their home and he's making a difference. And as your eyes are closed with nobody looking around, the point is we're not trying to look at each other. We're trying to look at our own hearts. God, by your Holy Spirit, help us to look at our own hearts and recognize our need for you. And if you sense in your heart a need to have a relationship with Jesus, I would just ask you to raise your hand. Just stick up your hand and say, I need this Jesus that we're talking about today. I need that kind of strength in weakness. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be bashful. Jesus hung on a cross, torn to shreds and bleeding on our behalf so that we could be forgiven of sin and have a relationship with God. And if it's your desire to know the Jesus that Jill and Aaron have described this morning, just raise your hand quickly and set it back down again. You don't have to leave it up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. God, we thank you that you made it possible for us to know you when you sent your son. Your word says that you loved us so much in spite of our sin that you sent Jesus to to walk on this earth and to die on our behalf. He never sinned, but he was crucified for our sin so that we could be forgiven and know you. That is incredible, unconditional love that we don't deserve. And upon receiving you, you take up residence in our lives. How is it possible that you've chosen to make us your temple, the place where you would reside in our hearts, and to help us through times of difficulty and weakness? And you said that we would experience suffering here on this earth, but there is a place one day where there will be no more pain and no more tears. And I thank you for those who've indicated a desire to know you today, to give their lives to you, and to say yes to what you have for them. Thank you and praise you, God, for how you've worked in Jill and Aaron and Cameron's lives, and especially in Jim's life over these last 15 years. And we'll never forget the things he accomplished on a football field. But I'm just blown away thinking that this is his family that's been ministering to us today. And it's his family that has spoken into our lives through the books and through the things that have occurred in their lives over these last 15 years. Thank you for the grace that they stand in. You didn't do this for them because they deserve it any more than for us, but you did it for all of us because you love us. And God, we knit our hearts together in Jesus' name and pray for a miraculous healing in Jim Kelly's body, that you would heal him of the cancer. And God, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are able to do that. And in advance, we thank you, God, that you know what is best for each one of us. Our prayer and our hearts, our Lord Jesus, accomplish your will and your purpose. Build your kingdom in all of our lives in every situation. And it would be our desire, like it was the desire of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, not to go to the cross. And yet he said, nevertheless, not our will, but yours be done. Give each of us that kind of heart, Lord, that whatever hardship we're facing today, we would come to a place of being able to say, God, thank you for loving us so much that you give us what's best. God, hear our hearts, though. We are praying for this deliverance and this healing, for strength in weakness, for you to continue to build into the lives of Jill and Aaron, Jim and Cameron, this whole family. Thank you for the incredible testimony of Hunter. Thank you for all you've accomplished thus far. And we will continue to praise you, for your name is great. Thank you and love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.